So on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph.
You heard a singer?
Yeah. Oh, that's it. Great. Excellent.
I think he just tried calling. I said, that maybe helped.
Okay. Now the only thing is I don't know where to put this. Let's see. Okay, I'll try to keep it here. I don't know if that works. Okay. So again, yeah, thanks. So on the bottom of Chaf Beis Amud Aleph, let's see where we could start here. Let's start again from Idmar. And we'll just, you know what, we're not going to read every word of the Gemara inside, because we're really on the bottom of the Omid Masiv Rav Avia, but we'll just review it. So there are two ways of understanding the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, in which Rav is Machmir and Shmuel is Mekil, about Madlikim Miner Lener. The first explanation, which is offered by a Talmud in front of his Rebbe, is that they're arguing about Bizui Mitzvah, which means that we're talking about a case where he lights from one candle to the other through the medium of a kisen. And that's called Bizui Mitzvah, according to Rav. On this, Shmuel says that's not Bizui Mitzvah because he's doing it for the purpose of lighting the other Ner Chanukah. So he's staying within the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. Now it could be, and we've discussed this on many occasions, that Ein also Lishtamish or Bener Chanukah includes even a mitzvah. And even for the sake of a mitzvah, according to Rav, maybe you wouldn't be allowed to use a Ner Chanukah, let's say for example, to enhance your Suda Shabbos or to read a Sefer. But for the sake of the same mitzvah itself, from Chanukah to Chanukah, from one Ner to another, that's already mutter. Why? Because that's not considered that he's benefiting for another purpose. So even going from one mitzvah to another might be considered benefiting for another purpose. But if it's within the same mitzvah of Chanukah, then it's okay. However, that's okay according to Rav if he lights directly from one candle to the other. But if he lights through a kisem, and then what it looks like is that he's being mevazeh the mitzvah by taking a mundane kisem shalchol that doesn't have any status as a mitzvah and using that for his ner, that would be bizui mitzvah. Comes along Shmuel, he says, no, since he's doing it for the ultimate purpose of lighting another ner Chanukah, that's not called bizui mitzvah. And then Rav Adabar Ava, that's the Rebbe, he says, no, that's not the way you have to learn this machlokas. The machlokas is about lighting directly from one candle to the other. And Rav prohibits even that, which is called makrish mitzvah. Right? It looks like he's drawing off some of the oil from the mitzvah, from the ner mitzvah. And the Gemara says that if you go with the approach of Rav Ada, right, that's the Rebbe, then it comes out that Shmuel was only mekil in the case of lighting directly from one ner to the other, because that's not called makrish mitzvah. You know, Shmuel never accepted this principle called akhushe mitzvah. However, with regard to bizui mitzvah, which means if you use a kisem, then even Shmuel would agree. So that's what the Gemara says now. My big nayhu, if you take a look a few lines up from the bottom of the Amud, about three lines up, how are you? Okay. It says, "My beinai, what's the difference between these explanations of the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel?" So Gemara says, "Ikke beinai to come madlik mishraga l'shraga." What happens if he lights directly from one ner Chanukah to the other ner Chanukah? L'mandi Omar, if you hold that Rav is based on bizui mitzvah, mishum bizui mitzvah. He says, Mishraga l'shraga madlik, you'd be allowed to light directly, even according to Rav, from one ner to another, because that's not called bizui mitzvah. It's only bizui mitzvah when you use a kisem. So if we're going with the approach of kisui, of bizui mitzvah, then the whole machlokas between Rav and Shmuel boils down to the case of using this intermediary kisem. And on that Shmuel is Mekil, and he says that it's not Bizui Mitzvah because you're doing it for the greater good and the greater goal of lighting a second Ner Chanukah. But Mandi Omer, if we go according to Rav Ada Bar Ava's explanation, and if the Machlokas is about this very case of lighting Miner with Ner, directly from one Ner to another, Mishum, and Rav says it's prohibited because Akhushe Mitzvah, then Mishraga Lishraga Nami Osir, everybody would agree that, I'm sorry, then Rav would prohibit it from Shraga Lishraga because of Akhushe Mitzvah, then everyone would agree, even Shmuel would agree, that if you use a kisem as the intermediary to light from one candle to the other, then it's Osir. So let's just review. If you all like the Talmud of Rav Ada, and the Machlokas is about Bizui Mitzvah, that means the case that they're arguing about is when you use a kisem. But Rav would agree that Miner L'Ner, there's no problem Bizui Mitzvah if you do it directly. And therefore Shmuel comes out, according to this approach, to be Mekil, even in the case of kisem. But if, on the other hand, you're going to take Rav Ada Bar Ava's approach, that the Machlokas is in the case of Miner L'Ner directly, and even then Rav is Machmir, and the reason why Rav is Machmir in the case of a direct lighting from Ner L'Ner is because of Akhushe Mitzvah. Shmuel rejected Akhushe Mitzvah, but he never rejected Bizui Mitzvah. Now Shmuel himself would be Machmir in the case of Kisen. So according to the first Lishna, if we want to call it that, then Shmuel would be Mekil even in the case of Kisem, because that was the Machlok Shin Rav and Shmuel. Minel and Er, everybody agrees, is Mutter, because we don't have the concept of Akhushe Mitzvah. But if you take the second approach, they're arguing about Ner L'Ner because of Akhushe Mitzvah. Okay. Now, what we're up to is the last line on Chav Beis Amud Beis. Masiv, I'm sorry, on Chav Beis Amud Aleph, I meant to say, turning to Chav Beis Amud Beis, Masiv Rav Avya, and here you have a quote from a Braisa that starts with the word Sela. Okay, so now we're going to see that at this point in time, Rav Avya is going to quote a braisa from Masechta Maaser. Now let's just talk a little bit about Maaser. In addition to separating one-tenth of his produce and giving it to the Levi, which is called Maaser Rishon, there's another obligation to separate one-tenth of his produce on the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. But anyway, that's called Maaser Sheni, and that Maaser has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim. If it's too much to ask of him because of the vast volume of produce, to bring one-tenth of his produce to Yerushalayim, because, you know, transportation in that case will be very cumbersome, so he could do pidyon. Now, in the case of pidyon, what he does is he transfers the sanctity of the Maaser Sheni from the produce over to mos, over to currency. And in the case that we're going to discuss with, the currency is called the sela. So let's keep that in mind. Now just excuse me for one split second. So we have this sela. And if you look at the Bryce as we turn to Chafez on the base, it says Sela Shel Maaser Sheni, which means that he was poda, or another word is called machalel. Machal means to transfer the kedusha from the produce of Maaser Sheni over to the Sela. Okay, now the Sela has Maaser Sheni. Notice the kedusha of Maaser Sheni is now in the Sela, and this Sela is also called in the language of Shas, not here in the Braisa, is called Dinrei Zohar. Now I don't know if that's important, I'm just mentioning it here because he translates this as Dinrei Zohar. Like, so the classical currency back in the day was called the Dinar, and it was made of gold. So it had quite a bit of value. So he was mafresh. So let's go through the entire process. Number one, the first thing after mafresh is what's called truma gedola, and that's given to the kohen. Then after you take off truma gedola, your mafresh masa rishon, that's given to the levi. Then on every day of the Shemitah cycle, the Shemitah cycle, with the exception of years 3 and 6, those are the exceptions, where you give Maser Oni instead of Maser Sheni. So with Mafresh Maser Sheni, and that has to be brought to Yerushalayim and eaten in Yerushalayim, but the alternative is to do what's called Chilul, and you could be Mechalel, you could transfer the Kedusha from the Peros over to the Mos. And in this case, we're talking about a sela of Maser Sheni. Now, because this sela, this coin, now has Kedusha to it, so you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. Why would he want to use it for his own purposes? After all, he designates it to bring it to Yerushalayim. So the answer is the following. He has, let's say, more produce in this Maser Sheni, and he needs to do a second pigeon. He did the first pigeon, and let's say the fruits on this table were already mechulo, were already transferred over to these mo's. So here are my mo's. But now he has fruits on that table, and they still have kedushas maser sheni. So he's going to have to now take other mo's, and he's going to have to use them for the pigeon.
Why wouldn't he do that all at once?
I'm not exactly sure what the case is, why he didn't do it all at once. Either he cut down new produce, or maybe there has to be a certain, let's say, I'm missing one piece of the puzzle here, just give me a second. So Jerry, let me get back to your question a little bit later. I don't want to hold up the whole works here, but We'll work out exactly why he had to do this in two stages. But in any event, he's now ready for stage two. It's even possible, Jerry, that he's doing it for the sake of a friend of his. What is he doing? I didn't even tell you what he's doing yet. But his friend has peros that have to be mechulal. So what he's doing is he's weighing the currency. Now, it's not like today. What we're familiar with in our contemporary society is that currency has the backing of the government. You know, but anyway, in any event, you don't have to weigh coins today. Trust me on that. You know, nobody weighs coins. But back in the old day, the coin and its value was a function of its weight. Now, what's happening is, when he wants to determine the value of a coin for the purpose of pigeon, and again, we're going to get back to that, exactly why he needs to know the value of the coin. So he needs to weigh the coin. So he has dinrim, you know, these coins which are called a dinar, and he knows exactly the weight of that dinar. But the problem is that dinar was used already for chilul peiros maaser sheni, so it has kedusha to it. And he wants to use the dinar on one half of the scale to weigh another dinar and make sure that dinar has its full value for purpose of chilul of other peiros. So if you follow the structure, just like we're using the kisem for lighting the Ner Chanukah so that we can ultimately light a second Ner Chanukah, here too, we're going to use the dinar of Maser Sheni on one side of the scale in order to weigh other dinrim. These other dinrim right now are chulin. They have no sanctity whatsoever. But for the ultimate purpose, if everything works out and he sees that it actually has the value that it should have, because again, what happens is with the passage of time, sometimes because you rub the currency, it goes from hand to hand, so it loses a little bit of its weight. So he wants to make sure that it has its full value. And he's using now a dinar, or it's called in the language of the Brisa, a sela of Maaser Sheni, for the purpose of weighing another sela, which is chulin at this point, but his ultimate goal, if everything works out well, is to use this second sela or dina, whatever you want to call it, for pidyon ma'aser sheni. So he's doing an action which seems to be utilizing for his own purposes as a weight, as a scale, to balance the scales, something which has kedusha to it. It's already invested with the status of the mitzvah of ma'aser sheni, and to use it for his purposes to weigh another coin, which for sure is also, except that here he's weighing the other coin for the purpose of using that coin for chilul ma'aser sheni, for the sake of a mitzvah. So would he be allowed to do so? We're turning now to Daf Chav Beis Amud Beis. And the Gemara on the top of the Amud in this Brisa says the following: Ein Shoklim Kenegdon Dinrei Zav. And I'll add two words here: Shel Chulin. I can't use the Dinrei Zav of Ma'aser Sheni, which already is invested with the Kedusha of Ma'aser Sheni, for purposes of weighing other Dinrei Zav, which right now have the status of chulin, because I haven't yet accomplished my second goal, which means that if everything checks out and the scales balance each other, so now I know that these other dinrei zav of chulin have the right exact weight. And again, I owe you an answer to the question why we have to know, why it's so important for chilul ma'aser that we know exactly the value of this coin. But anyway, we have to weigh the coin, and we're doing it for the purpose of another mitzvah of pidyon ma'aser sheni, and yet the Braisa says it's awesome, right? Ein shoklin. Ein shoklin means it's prohibited to do this process of weighing afilu lechal of ma'aser sheni acher, even if he has other ma'aser sheni produce and he wants to be poed that onto the second, we'll call it a dinar zav. But right now, at this present moment, because he's in the process of checking out whether this dinar zav shel chulin is actually an appropriate candidate for chilul ma'aser, it has the status of chulin right now. Even though his greater goal is to be mechalal of ma'aser sheni acher, he's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah of ma'aser sheni. He's not allowed to do so. Now, if we're going to assume that the machlokes, this goes back to the Talmud, the machlokes shin Rav and Shmuel, is about bizui mitzvah, meaning he's using a kisem to transfer the fire from Ner Chanukah to another Ner Chanukah. The kisem itself is chulin, it's not a chefetz shel mitzvah, it's not a Ner Chanukah, and there's a problem with bizui mitzvah. Comes along Shmuel and he says it's mutter. So this is the most extreme formulation of Shmuel Lekula, that Shmuel is mekel even in a case of kisem, which means that we look at it from the perspective of the ultimate goal, and since his ultimate goal is to light a second Ner Chanukah as a Ner Mitzvah, therefore it's not Bizui Mitzvah, then it would seem that in this case where he's using Dinrei Zav Shechilu Kvar Olav Esa Ma'aser Sheni and has Kedusha Ma'aser Sheni for the purpose of ultimately being Mechalel on the second Dinrim, the Dinrim of which are now Chol, Chulin Ma'aser Sheni Acher, another set of produce of Ma'aser Sheni, that should be mutter according to Shmuel. Let's look at it inside. E Amrit Bishlema, if we're going to go with the interpretation of Rav Ada Bar Ava, the Rebbe, who says the Chi Pligi Rav and Shmuel, what are they arguing about? Me Ner L'Ner. It means that Rav went as far as to prohibit Ner L'Ner under the law of Akrushe Mitzvah. Shmuel's not worried about Akrushe Mitzvah, but they all agree Amal B'Kinsa, even Shmuel Asar Shmuel, because Kinsa is Bizui Mitzvah. So Shmuel accepted Bizui Mitzvah. He never allowed the ends to justify the means to ameliorate the Bizui Mitzvah because of the fact that you're ultimately going to light an Ner Chanukah. Shmuel's not going to allow that. Halotevi Tuvta, then you can't ask any questions from this Brisa, because this Brisa is a perfect reflection of the Sheet of Shmuel, meaning the Sheet that's agreed upon even by Shmuel. Why? Because even though, what's his ultimate goal here by doing this Shkila, this weighing? For the purpose of Ma'aser Sheni, for the purpose of a mitzvah. But now, if you isolate the frame, if you remember that expression that we used last week, right now, he's doing it with he's weighing dinrim of chulin. So we're not going to look at his ultimate goal, because Shmuel agrees that there's an Iser Bizui Mitzvah in the case of Kisev, which means that even though his ultimate goal is to light another Ner Chanukah, right now what we see in front of our eyes is considered a Bizui Mitzvah. Here too, what we're looking at in front of our eyes at this moment, forget about his ultimate goal and purpose, is Bizui Mitzvah, because he's taking most of Maaser Sheni and he's using it to function as a scale. But if you're going to go with the Talmud of Rav Ada Bar Rava, who interprets the Machlokes Shin Rav and Shmuel, not in the case of Miner Liner, but rather in the case of Kinsa, that was the battleground between Rav and Shmuel, which means that according to Shmuel, Kinsa Nami Shari, Shmuel would allow you to justify the means by the ends, and your end goal is to light an Ner Chanukah, and therefore there's no Bizui Mitzvah. Don't isolate this frame, but look at the ultimate goal. Are you with me, Rav Osai? I need to know that you're with me. And if you're not, I'll review it. But I'm hoping that you're understanding what we're saying here, that according to the Talmud of Rav Ada, the Machlokas was, is there Bizui Mitzvah when he's using the Kinsa for the ultimate purpose of doing the Mitzvah of lighting an Ner Chanukah? Then Hotevi Tuvta, then this price is a real problematic price, according to Shmuel, because this price says, despite the fact that his ultimate goal is to use the dinrim of chulin for the purpose of chil ma'aser sheni for the great mitzvah, nevertheless it's prohibited because right now it's chulin, and if it's right now presently chulin, what we see in front of our eyes is a bizui mitzvah when he's using the most of ma'aser sheni as a weight on the scale. So then, how could it be that this is prohibited if Shmuel is matir? Again, from most of the habit, if we're going to assume that Shmuel is matir in the case of Bizui Mitzvah, the Kisen, because of the ultimate goal, then here too, in the case of Shkilas Maaser Sheni, we should be matir using the Maaser Sheni most for the ultimate goal of being mafrish a second time, to being mechal a second time on these Maaser Sheni most. Even though, again, right now what you see in front of your eyes is some sort of a personal use in which you're using the most of Maaser Sheni as a shkila, as a weight, that seems to detract from the kedusha of Maaser Sheni. But on the other hand, the ultimate goal, if you look at it from that perspective, he's doing it for the sake of the mitzvah chil Maaser Sheni. So why would the Braisa prohibit doing so according to Shmuel? Because Shmuel said, according to the Talmud of Rav Ada, that in the case of Bizui Mitzvah, there's no Bizui Mitzvah. You can light the second Ner through the Kisem because of your ultimate goal is for the sake of the Mitzvah of Ner Chanukah.
So I would think if you're lighting the candle or the Ner, you know it's going to light. Here, if you weigh it and it's short,
excellent.
What happens?
Wow. So, Steve, you could have written the next piece of Gemara.
Sure.
Let's just read it. Since Steve said it, he let the cat out of the bag, and he says the following. Omar Rabba, you know why the Braisa prohibits this? Gzeira shemalo yechavim mishkalosav. We don't know exactly what's going to be. In Hebrew, you'd call it totza'a sofit, you know, the final outcome. What's going to be the final outcome here? Maybe he thinks that these dinrim of chulin are going to actually weigh out, you know, the weigh the same value. But maybe he's going to clarify as a result of this of the weighing of the, on the scales that his dinrim falls short. That's called chaserim. They fall short of the value that they have to be, and then he's going to have to look for a different set of dinrim. Or alternatively, maybe they'll turn out to be more valuable than a classical dinner. Maybe there was an extra weight of gold in there, and then he's going to say, why should I waste my money? I don't have to be mafrish maser on something that's so expensive. But in any event, whichever way you go, up or down, it's going to come out that these mos, these dinrim that he's weighing now, remain dinrim of chulin. And at the end of the day, he will not use these dinrim for the sake of the mitzvah of chil maser sheni. Because mafik lula chulin, which literally translates as it's going to become chulin, but it really doesn't mean that. It's not going to become chulin, it is chulin at this point. So that's what he says over here. Yanichem chulin. They will remain chulin. And then if you remain chulin, it turns out that what that igloy milso, now it becomes clear to us that the original shkila that he used never panned out. And he never did it with tzarech mitzvah. There was no ultimate greater goal because these mos are not a good candidate for his chilul. He's not going to use these mos for chilul. And that's called bizui mitzvah. In the case of adlokah miner l'ner al yidei kisein, we're not afraid that he won't successfully light the second ner. He has in front of him one ner that's already been lit as a ner Chanukah. He has a second ner that's set in place for a ner Chanukah. He's got this kisem in the middle. What do we call it? A wood chip, we called it, Don? A wood chip in the middle. And now, everything is set. You know, there's no element of doubt here. You know, sometimes when if you gamble, there's always a possibility that you might lose. There's no gamble element here, right? There's no factor of gamble. Everything is clear and everything is definite. But in the case of Shkila, Adarab, the whole reason why he's doing this Shkila is because he wants to guarantee that he has the exact value that corresponds to the Maaser. So again, the only piece of the puzzle that I'm missing is why in Hilchas Pidgin Maaser Sheni, why does it have to be, just trying to figure out, just give me a minute here, Rabosai, why does it have to be a specific value? I'm hoping. Take a look in your. You have any like footnote there? Why it has to be a specific value? Oh, you don't have.
I have.
You have the English translation?
Yeah.
Where do you have it on the computer screen? Wow.
Brand new.
Tischadish. I'm really impressed.
The second time I'm using. I used it last night.
I'm assuming you had to pay for that. That's not free, is it?
Yeah. But I only paid 50% because I have the printed volumes.
Interesting.
I proved to him I bought the printed volumes.
Wow.
It's fantastic.
This is the best.
Thing
I'm flabbergasted. Can you cut and paste from it?
I don't know, but the best thing is this. I can actually blow it up. I can read Rashi now. I couldn't read
Rashi.
It was too small. Now I can actually
read. You see, when they speak about technology, boy, Baruch Hashem, we have this technology.
And it's interactive. So if you have all of the stuff, you can get the Tanakh, you can get Chumash.
Wow.
In the footnote, if it says Leviticus 24:3, you click on it.
There's another site that's famous for that. I forgot what it's called right now.
Well, there's ArtScroll.
I'm saying before ArtScroll, but again in Hebrew, there's another site where you could press on something.
HebrewBooks.org, isn't
it No. It's called Sifriya or something similar.
Safari.
I think they also have. But this is amazing. I just would ask one question. I think the answer is going to be no. Check this out on this. Can you cut and paste from that?
I don't know.
I'm telling you the answer is going to be no, because once, if they give you the option to cut and paste, then forget about buying ArtScroll anymore, because you can basically cut and paste any single page and print it out. Can you? You understand my question?
Yeah,
if you could print this out or cut and paste and stuff like that, I don't know. Then.
But you can put notes and bookmarks and things like that. So.
Right. So let me know if you can. Because if that be the case, you have. You know, there's no need. Again, it may be laws, you know, copyright laws that allow, you know, that al pidin, you're not allowed to do it, but they can put all sorts of conditions in the deal. So that's pretty amazing for me. In any event, if you get a chance, take a look, or if anybody else has another, you have Rabbi Steinsaltz tomorrow. There should be some sort of an introduction
about
why is he so careful about the weight here, and I'm missing just one piece of the puzzle here in Hilchas Chilul Maaser Sheni. Just one second. There's got to be some sort of a restrictive law. I don't know why I'm not finding it here.
You can use it for a second.
Oh, wait. One second. Give me one second, Jerry. I think I found something here. Sheyaduolo Shedinri Maaser Sheni Shebershuso Shlemim Vishokim Es Mishkolim Aroy Rotzol Niach B'Kafach Eshal Masnayim Ulaniach Kineged B'Kaf Ashnia Dinrei Zov Acherim Livdoka Imhem Gam Shlemim. So there's some sort of halach of shleimim here. I'm not exactly sure why, but the you know what I mean. There's something called chaser, where the coin is missing a piece, a chunk of its metal volume, and then there's something called a mole, where it has its full.
If I may,
a yedula mishkal mashamim chaser Nimtza shegam adim sheshakol kneisim shkom nishim shalim. So again, Rabbi will say, until you come along and help me at this point, I'm just going to make the following kind of a axiomatic statement, which I don't exactly know the deeper meaning of, but there's something called a chaser. And for Maisa Sheni, you don't want to use a chaser. You have to use a shalim. I'm missing the answer to the question as to why, whether that's because of the embellishment of the mitzvah, or that's a basic mitzvah in Hilchus.
Doesn't the pidyon have to be exact? I mean, if I don't have the exact amount, I didn't do it properly.
Can you find that for me? I just want to see that, you know, you can't use svara here. You know, either you know it or you don't know it. So I'm admitting my ignorance here, but I don't know why it can't be chaser.
If you're talking about what Ben just said, it quotes Rashi.
Yeah.
It says, perhaps the weighing will reveal that the unconsecrated coins lack the designated metal weight.
Right, but what? Why?
Sufficient value for redeeming it.
Yeah, so what is that? It has to be shalim. The shalim, I don't know.
The first one is shalim.
Right? The one that's Maaseh Sheni that he's using, or he wants to use, but he's prohibited, is shalim.
Right.
He doesn't know if the second one is shalim. Shalim means it has its full value. You know, you look at it; it says it's a dinar. A dinar has a certain value, but it has to have a certain weight in order to be. So it's shalim.
The first one has to be shalim in order to be able to.
That I understand. Why does the second one have to be shalim? For that matter, the first one had to be shalim, but we already proved that it was shalim, and therefore he went ahead and he was mechalel his Maaseh Sheni on the first dinar, which was shalim. Why does the dinar of Maaseh Sheni have to be shalim? So Ben is saying that there's a halach of shava b'shava. I would like to see that. I'm not learning Maaseh Sheni. That's the truth. Maaseh Sheni is a masechta in Shas. So I thought that maybe he would clarify that. Why it has to be shalim. Okay. But anyway, the premise is that it has to be shalim.
He just answered...
yeah, what does he say? Say it one more time. Reuven, everything you're saying to me is Chinese. I'm sure it's brilliant, but if you want to pass it over to me, maybe I'll understand. But all right. So I'll both say again. If I were to ask you the following question as a quiz question to see if you're on the same page, would the Iser of this Shkila, of this way, be Da'oraisa or Da'rabana? According to Shmuel. Does the Torah prohibit me from doing this weighing, or is it Da'rabana that are prohibiting? Correct. Because on a Torah level, there's no bizui mitzvah. Why? Because he's weighing, he's using these dinrim of Maaseh Sheni for weighing for the sake of a mitzvah, and Shmuel holds there's no bizui mitzvah. The only problem is that the Rabbanah made a gzeir because we're not sure what's going to be the outcome of this whole thing. And if we're not sure the outcome, you're putting yourself into, you're exposing yourself to a very dangerous situation where it might turn out that you illegally used Maos of Maaseh Sheni as a bizui mitzvah, because you never can justify that it's this particular scale. Okay. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Let's go on. So Rav Sheshes is now going to ask from a different brisa. Okay. Just one second. Yehuda wants to say something, but I can't read it here. Message. Okay, thanks. That helps me a lot. You know, he's just rubbing salt into a wound, and he says we learned by Maaseh Sheni and Azor. Yeah, I learned it with Rabbi Moshe Chorsky.
How
long
ago was that?
Oh, it's got to be a long time ago. Masi Rav Sheshes.
Is the camera? Is Yehuda seeing on the camera now? Or?
I think so. I hope so.
No, it's just the angle.
Yeah, you know, I can't figure out the angle. Masiv Rav Sheshes. Now we have another brisa. This is Toras Kohanim in Parashas Emor, and we're dealing with the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah in the Beis Hamikdash. Vayikra Perek Chav Dalit, Pasuk Gimel. It says Michutz LaParoches Saedus. For those who like to learn Kodshim, we're learning Kodshim now. Okay, this is Sugya Masechta Menachos about how to fulfill the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Torah says the following. I'm going to read to you the whole pasuk. The Braisa that Rav Sheshes quotes only has part of the pasuk, so I'm going to read to you the whole pasuk. The pasuk says, "Michutz leparochas ha'edus bi'oel moed." Yaroch oso Aaron me erev ad boker lifnei Hashem. This is the mitzvah called Maroch, or what we call Yaroch in the Torah's language. Yaroch means that every day it doesn't have to be Aaron, it could be any Kohen, but the Kohen is charged of what we call Hatovas HaNeros, to make sure that as the candle lit through the night, now we're preparing it for the next night, that you clean out any leftover shemen or psila that's already been partially used, and you replace it with new shemen and new psila. Okay, we'll get into that a little bit later. Right now, we're focused on the following word, ha-edus. Now, the word ha-edus here, in the context of the menorah, means that there's some sort of testimony. Edus means testimony, some sort of public declaration about the divine providence or the divine miraculous supernatural intervention in changing the laws of nature here at the time of the lighting of the candle. So first, before we get to understand what the nature of this edus is, of this, as I said, supernatural daily occurrence in the lighting of the menorah, first we want to talk about a different part of this, a different philosophical point here about this mitzvah of lighting the menorah. The Brisa asks the following obviously rhetorical question. V'chi li'ora, who tzarech, does HaKadosh Baruch Hu need the light of the menorah? Halo kol arboim shon shaholchu b'nei Yisrael v'amidba l'holcha li'ora. Right, we had the Amud Ha'esh to light up the night, miraculously. So we had 40 years in the desert in which God gave us a source of light. Why is He now telling us to light a menorah in the Beis HaMikdash? And the Torah here at this pasuk is coming to answer that question. Very fascinating Brisa, because the Brisa is asking what we would normally call Taimei Dekra. You know, we don't usually ask why God commanded us in a mitzvah. You know, something so fundamental as lighting the menorah in the Mishkan and the Mikdash. That's a mitzvah. We don't ask why. But in this case, we have a right to ask the question why, because the Torah itself indicates that we're going to find an answer to that question. And that's indicated by the extra word edus. And the Torah is now describing the whole purpose of the lighting of the menorah. It's edus. Ella, what's the answer to why God is asking us to light the menorah? Edus hi l'bay olam shashchina shora b'Yisrael. Through the lighting of the menorah, maybe we can close the door, we're going to get edus, absolute testimony, meaning something is going to become absolutely clear in front of Bayi Olam for all the people of the world, Shashchina Shor v'Yisrael, that God is doing miracles in the Mikdash for the sake of Klal Yisrael. In other words, the lighting of the menorah on a daily basis entailed a miracle. What is this miracle? What is this edus? Maya edus. Amar Rav, zo ner maravi. So the western candle of the menorah, shenosin bo shemen kavidas chavrosel, u'mimeno hayamadlik, u'bo hayamisayim. There's an unbelievable miracle that took place daily, because what happened was they filled up every single ner, including the ner maravi, with the exact same volume of oil. There was no more oil in the ner maravi, the western candle, than there was in the rest of the candles. And yet, what happened? Mimeno hayamadlik. The ner maravi was used as the shamish, so to speak, to light the other candles. And yet, despite that fact, when he finished the entire process of Hatovas HaNeros, Right, so there are seven neros. So now what he does is, he does hatava, which means to clean out the oils and prepare for the next night, only on six out of seven. One out of seven, he didn't do hatava. Meaning when it came morning, he did not clear out the oil. And yet, that night, he was able to find the exact same volume of oil. So the Ner Maravi, which continued to be lit during the entire day, didn't require hatava. The great miracle was that the volume of oil remained the same, even though it was dolek es baboker, it was lit and continued to be lit during the day. All the other candles, they operated based on the natural law. They had enough oil to last until the morning, and in the morning they would take out the oil and prepare the new oil for tonight's, the next night's lighting. In the case of the Ner Maravi, they didn't have to do any atava, meaning they didn't have to add any oil to replace the oil that they put in the previous night, because the oil of the previous night would last through the entire day. And this was the great miracle in which God, this was the medium through which God publicized the fact that Shechina Shora B'Yisrael.
So when did they replace the oil? At night?
At night. In other words, the oil, the volume of oil, which was again equivalent to all the other Neros, but the volume of oil in the Ner Maravi would last the entire day, right? Mm-hmm. And that's called Shemen Kemidas Chavroseh. It had the exact same volume, which is called a Chatziluk for each Ner, as it did with the other Neros. And yet that Ner, meaning the Maravi Ner, would light, continue to light the entire day. Now, there's another part to Rav's statement, which we didn't emphasize here. Umimena Hayamadlik Uba Hayamisayan. So Mimena Hayamadlik, he says, Shar Neros Bein Harbayim. What does this mean, Shar Neros Bein Harbayim? So Rashi points out that this great miracle continued until the death of Shimon HaTzadik at the time of Bayis HaSheni. And after Shimon HaTzadik died, the Ner Maravi would last exactly the same amount of time as the other Neros. But what I want to know is, what's the Ba Hayamadlik, Shar Neros Bein Harbayim? In other words, as I said to you before, the Ner Maravi was used to light the other Neros. I think, if I'm not mistaken, what the Gemara is trying to say here is that there's a double Ness going on here. Not only Ness number one, that the oil of the Ner HaMaravi would last through the night and through the day, and there was no need to add any oil, but in addition, there's another reason why we were amazed at the miracle that the Ner HaMaravi was able to last the entire day, meaning the 24 hours, if you follow me, and even the daytime. And that is that when they did the hadlaka of all the other Neros, which was the first Ner of the seven that they would light? The Ner Maravi. That was number one. Then after they lit the Ner Maravi, they used the Ner Maravi to light the other six candles. Now that should have already diminished some of the volume of the oil. Because number one, it's the first one being lit, and number two, as we said before, when you use a candle to light another candle, it starts drawing off some of the oil. So the Torah says, Lahalos Ner Tamid. That's the Pasuk. Now this Pasuk is not in Sefer Vayikra, but it's at the end of Sefer Shmos. And it says in Shmos Chav Zayin Pasuk Chav, Lahalos Ner Tamid. So Rashi in Masech Yuma, not here, quotes this pasuk, Lahalos Ner Tamid, and he asks the following question: why is it called Ner in the singular? There was a mitzvah all the time to have all seven Neros lit, so it should have said in the pasuk, Neros Tamid. La Madnu, Rashi says in Yuma, that we derive from this, Shetzorch LaHaskil Adlaka B'Ner Echad. The Torah is singling in, is focused on one particular Ner, and that had to be lit first. Umi Menu, from that Ner, LaHadlik Shara Neros. The Kavuzos B'Ner HaSheni Mimizrach. Okay, now Rashi wants to identify exactly where is this Ner Maravi located. So he says if you start on the eastern side, it's one over towards the west. Okay, that's going to be a tremendous machlokus we've shown him. For that we have to learn Masechta Menachos. But he says that the Ner HaRishon Mizrahi, even though that was the first Ner that he came across when he came out of the Heichal, nevertheless, the Torah says that it's got to be the second Ner, the Ner HaMaravi. Now, exactly how we derive this, I'm just going to mention this in passing. It says in the Pasuk, Yaroch Oso Lifnei Hashem. Lifnei Hashem means in front of the Kodesh Kodoshim. Now, the closest Ner to the Kodesh Kodoshim is on the western side. So we're stuck here with a contradiction. On the one hand, we want to use the eastern candle because that's the first candle that he encounters when he comes out of the Heichal. On the other hand, we want to use the Ner on the extreme western side because that Ner is the closest Ner to the Kodesh Kodashim, and the Torah says, Yaruch Oso Lifnei Hashem. So how do we reconcile these two psukim? The answer is, we take the Ner that's on the eastern side, but the one that's on the east but closest to the west. And that's going to be the second Ner. Okay, but the main point is that we're using the Ner Maravi because it says Lahalos Ner Tavid, Ner in Lashon Yachid in singular, and that's going to be used to light all the other candles. And then it says Uba Hayim Esayim Es HaTovas HaNeros. The paradox is that you would think that HaTovas HaNeros, meaning to replace the oil, would be first with the Ner Maravi. And that's because the Ner Maravi was lit first and also used to light the other candles. And yet, when they got to the HaTovas HaNeros, it was only Bein Arbayim, only towards the evening, that they were mativ the Ner HaMaravi. All the other Neros, they had to do that Tova to replace the oil in the Boker in the morning and prepare for the lighting of the evening. But in the case of the Ner HaMaravi, since it continued to light during the entire morning, it wasn't until Bein Arbayim, which is sometime, you know, at the early part of the evening, when they had to rekindle, they had to refill the shemen in the Ner HaMaravi in order to be madlik the to do the adlaka a second time, in other words, the next round of adlaka, in the evening. So this was a miracle, and the Brisa identifies the purpose of this miracle as Edus, it's a testimony, Shashkina Shora B'Yisrael. He says that there was another possibility, if not for this Brisa, of saying that the word Edus is not a reference to the menorah, but rather to Paroches. And since the pasuk says Michutz leParoches haEdus, it means that we're talking about the menorah. We're not talking about the Paroches. In any event, if you learn Menachos, I'm not sure what daf they're up to in Menachos. I don't know if anybody knows, but in Tzadi Ches, yeah. So I don't think there are some.
That's where we're
up. So they're not up to this yet, but you're going to get up to this in about a week or two on Tzadi Ches. There's a Machlokas Tanoim. Exactly how the menorah was placed in the Beis HaMikdash. According to Rebbe, all the Neros were organized from the east to the west. And that's our sugya here. So that's fine. But so the Ner Maravi, which was, again, a little bit towards the west, it wasn't in the west, was lit first. That's according to Rebbe. Just one second. Oh, what's the other shita? Just where's the other shita? I'm sorry. The other shita is Rabbi Lezer Reb Shimon in Masechta Menachos. Rabbi Lezer Reb Shimon holds that the Neros were set from north to south. Okay, and therefore it comes out that according to Rabbi Lazar, not the way we described it, that the Ner Maravi is one over from the right, the second from the extreme right, but rather the Ner Maravi is called the Maravi because it's in the middle. It's the Ner HaEmtzai. V'nikrakach mipnei shepihem shel sharaneros hayu mechuvon klapi ha-Ner HaEmtzai. כדי שהשלהבס תפנה אליה, כמו שנאמר, אל מול פני המנורה יאירו, פני המנורה היה נר האמצוי, ושלהבס הנר האמצוי היה ספונה לצד מערב, לכן נקרא צד מערבי. So basically, according to Rabbi Lazar, we're talking about the middle candle, because the menorah was facing north and south, and the middle candle had a shalheves that turned towards the west. And all the other flames of these three and these three were inclined towards the Ner Maravi. And the Ner Maravi was used to light all the other candles. Oh. Now, what does this have to do with our sugya of Bizui Mitzvah? So the Gemara asks the following. This is Rav Sheish is having quoted the Brice, and now he says the following. Va'ahacha, here in the case of his menorah, kevan de kvi neros, since the neros are set, each one in its place, and we're not going to cut off the ner amaravi from its place and uproot it in order to be madlik the other neros. Lo sagya de lo mash mishkal viadluke. It's impossible to light the other neros from this ner hamaravi, which is stationary in its place, unless you take a kisem, you take some sort of a wood chip, and you light from the ner hamaravi the wood chip, and from the wood chip you're going to light the other neros. So again, at this point in the Gemara, we'll see the Gemara is going to backtrack on this. The premise of the Gemara is that the entire process of lighting the menorah using the Ner Maravi would be through the medium of a kisen. Is kasha? Now we have to ask a question according to everybody. Bein leman diom mishum bizui mitzvah, bein leman diom mishum akhushe mitzvah. Let's start with akhushe mitzvah. I'm skipping the first step because this is the easier one. If you hold akhushe mitzvah, and that's the machlokas between Rav and Shmuel, like Rav Adav Arav, and then there was never a machlokas about bizui mitzvah, meaning about kisem. Everybody, even Shmuel, agreed that kisem is prohibited. And therefore, we're in deep trouble, even according to Shmuel. Oh, but now let's go according to the Man Yomer that the machlokas is about bizui mitzvah. And if there's a machlokas about bizui mitzvah, then we have to ask a question on Rav. Because Rav holds that to use a kisem is bizui mitzvah. How is Rav going to justify that lokas hamenorah on a daily basis in the Beis HaMikdash? Because that should absolutely be bizui mitzvah, because we've proven that since they use the Ner Maravi to light all the other neros, it must be that they use the kisem. And if they use the kisem, that would constitute bizui mitzvah. The truth is that if you hold like the Man Yomar Akhushi mitzvah, then even Shmuel's in trouble. But if you hold Bizui mitzvah, then Rav is in trouble. So there's always going to be a problem here, according to at least one Shita. Because according to Rav, clearly, there's Bizui mitzvah if you use a kisem. Maybe even Shmuel advocates the same position. How then could they have used a kisem to light the menorah? So now the Gemara is going to say, no, they didn't use a kisem. But rather, Tirgumar of Papa, Rav Papa want to interpret the scenario, the hechatims of how they lit the menorah, v'psilos aruchos, that each one of the neros had a long psila in such a way that they could be madlik directly from the ner amaravi to the... Okay, so here Rashi says, fine. They would take the ner amaravi, and because the two neros, one to the right and one to the left, I'm going to Rebbe now, if you follow what I mean, that the Ner Maravi was one over from the Mizrach, right? So there was a Ner on the left, so to speak, which is the Ner Mizrachi, and then there was the Ner Maravi to the right of the Ner Maravi. Those two neros would be able to light directly, they could be lit directly from the Ner Maravi. Why? Because they had Psilos Aruchos. Oh, now, what happens is you've got three out of the seven candles that are lit, and now you can just pass on the flame from one candle to the next one. But in all seven candles, there was a direct lighting from what's called from one ner to the other. Okay, so now we're okay with bizui mitzvah. We've solved the problem of bizui mitzvah. There was no need for a kisen. Why? Because they used psilos aruchos. Back to Gemara, but so I still have another problem. Lamanti omrishumakhushe mitzvah. If you all like Rav in the Lishna of Rav Adabarava, that Rav prohibited even lighting directly from one Ner Chanukah to the other because he's being machish the mitzvah. How do we justify, even in the case of Psil Saruchos, taking the Ner and using it directly to light the other Ner? That's a Khushi mitzvah, which means according to Rav, it's as if you're drawing and diminishing the oil. And the Gemara says, Kasha. I have actually, in my gears, I have two times it says Kasha. You have twice?
Yeah.
Also, you have two times. Kasha, Kasha. Meaning, the Gemara doesn't have an answer to this question. So we're left with a non-answered question, an attack against Rav from the menorah in the Mikdash, because we're assuming now that based on this great miracle of the Ner HaMaravi, that there was no intervention, no intermediary here of the Kisen. And why, according to Rav, why would that justify the problem of Akushe Mitzvah? But what I don't understand here is that, please correct me, because I must be making a mistake, but it comes out according to Rav that Mimonavshach, how could you light the menorah? Ah, I see. One second. If not, just 1 second. If not for the price of Edus, that the Ner Maravi was used to light the other candles, then Rav would be fine. Why? Because Rav would say they used the kisen, and with that kisen they lit all the neros. Do you follow what I mean? They lit a match. It wasn't that they took a kisen and they put it to another Ner. They didn't even start lighting any of the candles in the menorah, but rather they lit a kisen. You know what I mean? One of these tall candles. And then they lit each one. But then you don't have the Edus. The Edus is for the fact that they used the Ner HaMaravi to light other candles, and nevertheless, the Ner HaMaravi itself would last much longer than the other candles. So if that be the case, we're forced to assume that if they lit the other candles from the Ner HaMaravi, then you only have two possibilities. The first one is totally intolerable, which means that they took a kisem and they applied it to the Ner HaMaravi. That's even bizui mitzvah. But even if I grant you that there's no bizui mitzvah because of the psilos aruchos they lit from the Ner HaMaravi directly to the other neros, or at least the two, one on the left, one on the right, that too is problematic according to Rav because it's kushe mitzvah. And again, all this whole hullabaloo, this whole problem, this headache for Rav is based on the Bryce of Edus. And the Bryce of Edus testifies, if you pardon the pun, testifies that the way they lit the menorah was from the Ner HaMaravi. And if they use the Ner HaMaravi, that's going to be a problem of either Bizui Mitzvah or, in the best case scenario, of Akhushe Mitzvah. But if Rav holds Akhushe Mitzvah, how did they light the menorah from the Ner HaMaravi? Yeah, Tom.
Can you explain the difference between Kasha and Baku?
Usually it says Tuvta. Tuvta means TKO, as I say. You're out of the box. But Kasha means we don't know the answer to the question. But there is an answer to the question.
Ah, yeah. That means they forgot.
So I have a footnote here that he says the following in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel. That Kasha means that right now they didn't find an answer, but there is a possible answer. What is the possible answer? So he says in the name of the Ritva, Dafka Meneros HaMenorah Huter Adovar, that Enochinami, Akhushe Mitzvah is a problem. But there's a special matir, a special permission in the word Edus that allows you to violate this rule of Akhushe Mitzvah. Once we have the pasuk of Edus, sheyesh la'adlagas kol haneros miner HaMaravi, then the Torah in that pasuk must be teaching us that in this particular case there's no akhushe mitzvah. But the Gemara doesn't even want to give that answer, because I'd rather call it a kasha. Because what the Gemara is implying, I think, by the word kasha is that Adarabba, maybe this should be the binyan av. You know, instead of telling me that this is the exception with a special heter, why not assume that this is the general universal principle and there's no problem of akhushe mitzvah? Now, at this point, the Gemara still is up in the air as far as Bizui Mitzvah is concerned. Because keep in mind that even though we have a kasha on Rav, it could be that Shmuel argued with Rav just because of this kasha, and he rejected the principle of a Kushi Mitzvah, because you see with the Ner Marovi, they live directly from one Ner to the other. But as far as using a Kisim is concerned, it's quite possible that Shmuel would answer it, because that's Bizui Mitzvah. And that's going to be tomorrow's Gemara over here. My Havi Allah. My Havi Allah means that the Gemara now wants to come to a final conclusion about whether or not we accept Bizui Mitzvah with the case of the Kisim. And that's going to lead us into a whole new sugya, which is called Hadlokos Mitzvah or Hanochos Mitzvah. Okay then? So we'll make a note that this is where we got up to. My Havi Allah.
Reverend?
Yes.
I have a follow-up question from last week. I think it was Jerry's question in terms of Kaf Dalet, Kafei, Kislev. So the question is, as if I understand correctly from when we were learning Koshim and Zvachim, that the order of the halachic is night and then day, but in the Beit HaMikdash it's day and then night. So that being said, what was the order of lighting the menorah? Was it that it actually started in the daytime and extended to the night?
No, the mitzvah was to light it at night. And then there was a mitzvah called Hatovas Haneris during the day. So there was no light in the menorah by day.
So that
and that's a principle called Traga Matir by Mahani, that there's no candle during the day.
So the din of day and the night is for other avodot, not this avodot.
Okay. Now the question becomes, what about the Ner Maravi? If we've just established that this miracle is that the Ner Maravi continued to be lit during the day, what's the kiyum in having the Ner Maravi lit during the day? Because Shraga Matira Mai Mahani, there's no candle during the day, okay, halachically. So I'm tempted to think that that's good for this idea of Eidus, that Enochinami, the purpose of the Ner Maravi continuing lit during the day was not the Torah's mitzvah, it was just in order to convey and publicize this miracle that God's Shechina is Shor B'Yisroel. We can begin to understand, Rav Osai, why when the Rambam introduces Hanukkah and he goes through the history, if you recall, he points out that they were metame, the Yevonim were metame kol hashmanim. In other words, one of their prime targets is going to be the menorah and the mikdash. They're going to deliberately make sure that they contaminate all the oil. Why? Because the menorah is a testimony that directly contradicts the entire philosophy, the whole agenda of Yevonim. They believe that there's no concept called the chosen people. There's no concept called Kiddusha, that there's a sanctity to Israel. But that's the menorah becomes the antithesis, if you will, of the entire agenda of the Yevonim, based on the Gemara we just learned now. That Eidus hi b'Yisrael shashchina shor b'Yisrael. So if you look for some testimony that God is with us, you're going to find it in the menorah. And add to that another inspirational idea, that that's why Hanukkah becomes so important. That they found the Pach HaShemem, they lit the Ner, it lasted for 8 days, so that there would be Eidus b'Yisrael, Shashchina Shor b'Yisrael. Notice, here's a dark period in Jewish history, very gloomy. The Yevonim are completely undermining our religion. It's religious persecution. It's not the same as Haman. Haman was not saying that don't do mitzvahs. There was no gzeira like that. You see, the Nazis, Yimach Shemom, really combined both Haman and the Yevonim. You know, they did everything. Because in addition to destroying the Jewish people physically, they wanted to uproot our religion. You know, if somebody was caught lighting their Hanukkah in the barracks, in this, he was put to death immediately by the Nazis. So, you know, any mysterious nefesh that the Jews did, for any mitzvah, I'm just mentioning Hanukkah, the same was true for shofar. I mean, they snuck in a shofar, I mean, at the pain of death. So now, Hanukkah takes on a whole new meaning for us. So I don't know, Rabosa, if any of you will get a chance to speak publicly on Hanukkah, or even if you're speaking to your family at the time of Neir Hanukkah, please tell them exactly why this mitzvah is so amazing, why this miracle is so amazing. Because it's like from darkness to light, literally. The darkness of the Yevonim just completely undermining. There was no possibility of teaching Torah, of transmission of Torah, except at the pain of death. They did away with Mila. and so forth, other mitzvahs, Kiddush HaChodesh, they were attacking those institutions that they felt were so critical to Kedushas Yisrael. And they attacked the menorah now, it comes out according to the Rambam. The Rambam says, V'timu is kol hashmanim. Why? Because the menorah illustrates or testifies to the Kedushas Yisrael, that the Shekhinah Shor Yisrael, because of this miracle that took place daily with the Ner HaMaravim. So our Ner HaMenorah, with the restoration of the menorah after the great miracle of Hanukkah, really is again, now we're saying we shall overcome, we will not be destroyed, and the Shekhinah is with us. And maybe that explains why the Brisa, bless you, doesn't even mention anything about the Melchama when it says my Hanukkah. It just says Derech Agav Kishagavru Yevanim, when the Chashmonoim defeated the Yevanim, they looked for a Pach Shem, they looked for Shemen, and they found the Pach Shem. The whole business is all about the Pach HaShemen. And you and I would say, well, the military battle was so much more significant than this Pach HaShemen, with all due respect. The answer is, the Pach HaShemen symbolizes the whole purpose and the whole meaning and message of Hanukkah, that Shekhinah Shorah B'Yisrael.
Maybe now I can understand Shana Acheres, according to Rambam, that once you have the menorah again, it already has a built-in nes, you don't need the Ne'erav as a Zecher until...
Tell the Korban Abayis, yeah. 200 years later.
So now I'm seeing that Sheba.
Let me just think about that. It sounds brilliant. Let me think about it. So now that the Mikdash is still standing, so we already have the Shekhinah Shor Yisrael Eidus. We have the Eidus, so maybe we don't need the Ner Chanukah so much. We need the Ner Chanukah when there is no Mikdash and there is no Eidus for Yisrael. But the only problem is, I'll tell you the truth, I don't know if it's a problem, maybe it's just a different way of looking at it than what we did until now. When did they institute Ner Chanukah? So you're saying after the Churban, maybe you could say after the death of Shimon HaTzadik. Because this miracle, Rashi says, of the Ner HaMaravi, the Sayyid Israel, terminated with the death of Shimon HaTzadik. So maybe at that point in history already we needed the Ner Chanukah.
I can totally hear that, but also
because he didn't have the Eidus.
The fact that we could continue Jewish sovereignty and have the Beit Hamikdash in itself is also a nice.
That's true. The Rambam seems to put so much emphasis on Jewish sovereignty. Chazra Malchus Yisrael Yeser Al Masayim Shana, the Rambam's line. That we were an independent political entity, a Jewish state, for 200 years after this miracle. And that to the Rambam is critical to the Nes of Chanukah.
A more basic question. The menorah had seven...
candelabras, what's called. Yeah. I don't know what it's called.
Well, what's the Ner? Each one was a Ner?
Yeah, each receptacle is called a Ner.
So there were seven Nerot inside the menorah. So when it talks about it was used to light the western menorah, the western Nerot, are we talking about the westernmost of the seven? They must have used a cinder or something to light the first light, presumably, and then the extended wicks lit the others.
Right.
And what about all the other lamps? Or we're not talking, when it says...
Just that one menorah.
Just the one menorah.
One menorah.
So when it talks about the one Ner was used to light the other Nerot, they're talking just the menorah.
Just the menorah.
We're not talking about all the other Nerot in the
No, no, no. Those were used to illuminate, but we're talking about the mitzvah of the menorah.
But how did they like the others? They didn't then take a stick from the menorah to light all the other lamps. See, that's what I thought we were talking about.
No. We're only talking about how to get the seven Neros lit. That's how it goes.
Changes the whole
perspective. Yeah.
What was your question on the first sugya, where the Gemara seems to try to make a parallel from using Mises Shani to Bahuli and Nikisin to light the Nero? Well, what was the question on
that? Again, the analogy is that to use something that has kedusha for your purpose is prohibited. That's called bizui mitzvah. And Shmuel seems to deny it, at least in the case where you have an ultimate goal of doing another mitzvah. Right, in this case, where the Brisa says you can't use mos of Maaser Sheni, a cell of Maaser Sheni, as a scale, as a weight for a scale, it's talking about a case where he's going to be mechalel other Maaser Sheni on these mos that he's weighing out. So he's trying to make sure that they're not choser and they're sholem. So that should come under Shmuel's halacha that the ends justify the means. Right. Why did the Braisa prohibit it? And the Gemara answers, the Braisa prohibited on a Durabonan level, Mishum Zer, because maybe it'll turn out that these Mo's, which he thought were an excellent candidate for Kilumais Sheni, are Chaser. And if they're Chaser, then the entire process of weighing them was not L'Shem Mitzvah. And therefore Shmuel would say it's awesome. You don't seem to be on board with this.
I hear.
In other words, if you're lighting a second Ner with a Kisem, in the case of Ner Chanukah, there's no question that you'll be successful. There's no reason in the wildest dreams to assume something that the project will be aborted in midway and you'll fail to do. But in this case, it might be a failure, because the only reason you're going to use these second Mos for chilul and the bits of chilul is only because they're sholem and not chaser, but we don't know what the outcome is going to be. It's very possible that after weighing them, he's going to find out to his dismay that they're chaser. If they're chaser, they remain chul. So he never really had an ends to justify the means, and that's called gzeira d'rabbanan.
He was weighing it the same mitzvah. Right. It just may not turn up there.
Right. Correct. And the Gemara, that's the finish of the Gemara.
That seems to be the mahalik of the Gemara, that it's both the Shem Mitzvah, and so it doesn't seem to...
Correct, and the Hapni Zohar thinks as long as it's the Shem Mitzvah, that's sufficient, and then right. Shmuel would activate his principle that it's not called Bizui Mitzvah. The Gemara's Maskan is no. The only time Shmuel would say we don't have to worry about Bizui Mitzvah is when it's definite and it's certain that it will be used for the sake of a mitzvah. If there's any doubt, then we have to... Again, this is all based on, if you recall, the Drasha of Dam Kisui, where the Gemara derived the principle of Bizui Mitzvah from Dam Kisui, where the Pasuk says, what is the double word in the Pasuk again? V'shafach v'kisa. So the double language, the Gemara says, is Mikan Shaloyah Mitzvah Bzuyos Olam. He can't use his feet. So that becomes the Doraisa. Now comes along the Gemara and says that Shmuel will permit it if it's definite that there won't be any Bizui Mitzvah. But if there's an element of doubt as to whether or not the ultimate outcome, it will be for the sake of a mitzvah, but it might not be for the sake of a mitzvah. Then we got to go back to the principle of Ein Sofik Motzu Leivada. We have here an action of weighing, of using these modes of Maaseh Sheni as a weight for yeah? And that itself is Bizui Mitzvah. You want to tell me, well, I'm going to mitigate the Bizui Mitzvah because I'm going to use the other Mos. Well, prove that. Do you know up front that that's going to happen? And in the case of doubt, we have a principle, Ein Sofik Motzu Leivada.
Sure.
Okay,
sure.
Okay, then? Maybe I wasn't so...
Yeah, very good. So sure.